Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
County Reps Lighting Project. Ector County Commissioners at 10 a.m. today will consider approving the completion of their $6.9 million contract with Johnson Controls of Lubbock to upgrade the lights and heating air conditioning in county buildings. The contract entailed the replacement of all 87 Freon air conditioning units, the replacement of all lights with light-emitting diodes, and the installation of two chillers at the courthouse. In other business, the court will discuss letting Downtown Odessa, Inc. use the courthouse lawn for showing the holiday movie Elf at 2 p.m. December 18th as part of the City of Odessa's Winter Fest series of events. It will also hear a presentation from United Way of Odessa, accept a $5,603 donation from law enforcement partners for the Sheriff's Office, consider donating $2,500 to the West Texas Justice of the Peace and Constables Association to help finance a regional conference here from April 25th to 28th next year. Double shooting ruled homicide-suicide. The Odessa Police Department issued a press release on Wednesday afternoon that the double shooting last week has been ruled a homicide-suicide. The reported double shooting happened November 11th in the 900 block of West 40th Street, the press release stated. Officers responded and found two individuals identified as 21-year-old Aiden Barrientos Barrera Jr. and 28-year-old Heather Leanne Hernandez Rodriguez. Investigation reportedly showed that Barrera was operating a 1998 green GMC pickup traveling west in the 900 block of West 40th Street. Barrera's truck struck the front end of Rodriguez's vehicle as she was driving east in the 900 block of West 40th Street. Barrera exited his vehicle while it was still in motion and began shooting in the direction of Rodriguez's vehicle, striking her front windshield multiple times. The OPD press release stated, Barrera's vehicle came to a rest after it struck a parked, unoccupied vehicle. Barrera then reportedly shot and killed himself. The bodies of Rodriguez and Barrera were sent to South Plains Forensic Pathology for autopsy, the press release stated. The preliminary autopsy reportedly showed that Rodriguez was shot and killed by Barrera. Rodriguez's death has been ruled a homicide, while Barrera's death was a result of a single gunshot wound inflicted on himself and ruled a suicide. When the Odessa American emailed OPD Public Relations Manager Monica Quintero about if the two knew each other prior to the shooting, she responded with, "The information released is all we're releasing at this time." Video shows assault at Odessa Brewery. Affidavit: Oklahoma man dies of head trauma after assault. A probable cause affidavit details the events that led to the death of one Oklahoma man and the arrest of his co-worker following an argument in a brewery parking lot in Odessa. The Odessa Police Department probable cause affidavit detailed that a 40-year-old Oklahoma man died from head trauma after he was hit several times by a 33-year-old man. Lester Robert Bland, 40, of Oklahoma, died at 5:11 p.m. Tuesday, an OPD press release stated. Bland was listed in critical condition Tuesday morning. Jose Bernab Berlardo, 33, of Oklahoma, who was originally charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon causing serious bodily injury, a second-degree felony, has had his charge upgraded to murder, a first-degree felony. OPD responded for a medical call at 12:18 a.m. Tuesday at Frisky Brewery, located at 7050 Tres Hernanes Boulevard. An OPD probable cause affidavit detailed. The affidavit stated that Through witnesses and video surveillance, officers were able to determine Bland had been in an argument with Bilardo, a co-worker at the brewery. Bland and Bilardo exited the brewery, and Bilardo punched Bland twice in the head, knocking him to the ground, and then Bilardo struck Bland in the head a third time while Bland was defenseless. Bilardo reportedly admitted to a detective that he physically assaulted Bland. Bilardo was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on Tuesday morning. Jail records show. He was still in custody as of Wednesday afternoon, and bond hasn't been set. Obituaries. Carol Louise Crydell Nell, Odessa. Carol Louise Crydell Nell, age 85, of Odessa, passed away on Saturday, November 14th, with her devoted husband of 64 years at her side. A service will be held at the Sunset Memorial Funeral Home Chapel at 1 p.m. on Friday, November 19th, with a graveside service following, with Kimberly Stinton, pastor of Highland United Methodist Church, officiating. Carol is survived by her husband Fred Nell of Odessa, Texas, and her children Greg Nell and his wife Linda of Round Rock, and Ross Nell and his wife Shauna of Flower Mound, Texas. Other survivors include her grandchildren, Garrett Nell and his wife Brianna of Tyler, Reed Nell of Round Rock, great-grandchild Lucille Nell, numerous nieces and nephews, great-nieces and nephews, and wonderful friends. Carol was preceded in death by her parents, her stepmother Velma Crydell, her brother Morris Crydell, and her sister-in-law, Frances Dempsey Crydell Shannon. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made at Highland United Methodist Church, 1808 North Dixie Boulevard, Odessa, 79761, or to charity of choice. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign their guestbook at www.sunsetodessa.com. Jose Alfredo Rodriguez, Odessa. Jose Alfredo Rodriguez, age 63, passed from this life on November 12, 2021, at Medical Center Hospital in Odessa. He was born April 12, 1958, to Belia and Enriquez Rodriguez in Alpine, Texas. Jose is survived by his daughters, Natalie Rodriguez, Sofia Juarez, and Clarissa Silvis, all of Odessa. Brothers Antonio Rodriguez and wife Lori, Enriquez Rodriguez Jr., and wife Concepcion, all of Odessa, Texas. Sisters Nolberta Rodriguez of Monahans, Texas, and Balvinia Morales of Early, Texas, as well as many other family members and friends. He is preceded in death by his parents. A memorial service is scheduled for Friday, November 19th at 1 p.m. at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church in Odessa, Texas. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel in Odessa. Condolences may be made to the family online at acreswestfuneral.com. Antonio Enandina Flores, Odessa. Antonia Enandina Flores, age 85, of Odessa, passed away on Saturday, November 13th. Antonio was born May 14th, 1936, in Asherton, Texas. Antonia is survived by her brother, Juan Ramos of Fisher, daughter Margie Fuentes, Joe Fuentes, her son Hugo Flores, his daughter Linda Flores, their son Mario Flores, her daughter Hilda Rumisek, John Rumisek, her son Johnny Flores, her daughter Martha Jacobo, Andres Jacobo, her daughter Anna Graziano, Bill Graziano, and her daughter Amy Talamonte, Tony Talamonte. Antonio is survived by 15 grandchildren and 10 great-grandchildren. Antonio was preceded in death by her husband, Andon Flores, and her son, Henry Flores. A visitation for Antonio will be held Thursday, November 18th, and Friday, November 19th, from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. at Odessa Funeral Home, 1700 North Jackson Avenue, Odessa. A rosary will occur Friday, November 19th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Odessa Funeral Home, 1700 North Jackson Avenue, Odessa. A funeral service will be held at St. Joseph's Catholic Church, 907 South Dixie Boulevard, Odessa, on Saturday, November 20th at 9 a.m. Antonia will be laid to rest in Ector County Cemetery, 300 South Dixie Boulevard, Odessa. Serving as pallbearers are Esteban Fuentes, Diego Fuentes, Richie Sarto, Alonso Molinar Jr., Joshua Molinar, and Cassidy Lubovic. Fond memories and expressions of sympathy may be shared at www.odessafuneralhome.com for the Flores family. Death notices. Jordan Lee Lane Serber, Odessa. Jordan Lee Lane Serber, 22, of Odessa, died Friday, November 12th in Odessa. Memorial service is scheduled for 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. on November 18th at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home. Visitation will be November 18th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa. John Earl Choice. John Earl Choice, 78, died Tuesday, November 16th in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa.
Hello, this is Cindy reading Health and Wellness from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Wednesday. COPD takes focus in November. Common lung disease is fourth leading cause of death in nation. What is COPD? COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. As the name implies, COPD is a persistent condition of the lungs that people live with every day. It is caused by damage or inflammation of the lungs that results in obstructed airflow and difficulty breathing. Emphysema and chronic bronchitis are the two main lung conditions that the term COPD is used to describe. According to the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, people with COPD often suffer from both emphysema and chronic bronchitis. Symptoms of COPD include coughing, wheezing, shortness of breath, and chest tightness. It's important to note that these symptoms of COPD are not exclusive to COPD, but are also commonly seen in other diseases and illnesses. Your health provider or doctor can diagnose whether these symptoms are in fact COPD. Considering that there are millions of people who have COPD but have not yet been diagnosed, the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute recommends you see your doctor if you have persistent respiratory symptoms. The earlier you start treatment and lifestyle changes to manage COPD, the better. Since COPD is most commonly caused by smoking or secondhand smoke, quitting smoking is the most important lifestyle change to make to manage COPD and prevent further damage to the lungs, according to the Office of Disease Prevention and Health Promotion. How common is COPD? COPD is very common. Studies have estimated that 10% of the adult population worldwide suffers from COPD. Here in the U.S., it is estimated that over 25 million adults have COPD. COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. What causes COPD? Smoking is the leading cause of COPD. The National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute estimated approximately 75% of COPD cases occur in people who currently smoke or who have previously smoked. COPD can also be caused from breathing secondhand smoke or other lung irritants such as pollution or chemical fumes. Exposure to smoking in childhood and during the teenage years increases the risk of developing COPD in adulthood by interfering with lung growth and development. Treatment and prevention. Once the lungs are damaged from COPD, the damage is permanent. However, there are treatments for COPD and things you can do to protect yourself and prevent further lung damage. If you smoke, the best way to prevent and treat COPD is to quit. If you have COPD, quitting can help slow the progression of the disease and prevent complications. If you don't smoke, avoid exposure to secondhand smoke and other airborne pollutants, like air pollution, chemical fumes, and dust, that can irritate the lungs. There are other treatments available, such as bronchodilators, inhaled steroids, and oxygen therapy, that can help people with COPD feel better, stay active, and slow the progression of the disease. Colds and flu illnesses can worsen the symptoms of COPD. Talk to your doctor about getting a flu vaccine and protect yourself during cold and flu season by practicing good hand hygiene, getting plenty of rest, and eating a healthy diet. Resources for quitting smoking. Midland Health's Lifestyle Medicine Center and Pivot are partnering to provide a community-specific tobacco cessation pilot program that is available free of charge for a limited number of Midland Health patients. Pivot is a self-paced program that addresses smoking, vaping, and other tobacco products. Unlike many other smoking cessation programs, Pivot's innovative approach works even for people who are not currently ready to quit. For those who smoke cigarettes, Pivot is the only smoking solution that provides each participant with their own FDA-cleared handheld device to make quitting easier. The Pivot Smart Sensor measures the levels of carbon monoxide, CO, in the breath and is clinically proven to increase motivation and to decrease the number of cigarettes smoked per day. Pivot is conveniently delivered through your smartphone, personalized for each individual, self-paced, and with no pressure to set a quit date. The Pivot program includes the Pivot app, as well as access to an online community and a dedicated health coach specially trained in tobacco cessation and available via private in-app chat messaging. For those who smoke cigarettes, the Pivot Smart Sensor and a free supply of nicotine replacement therapy are also included. Space is limited for this pilot program. Only 100 people will be able to participate for now. If you wish to enroll in this pilot program, call the Lifestyle Medicine Center at 432-221-5433. Hospital. Vaccine Deadlines Still Set, by Caitlin Randall. Midland CEO and President Russell Myers said Tuesday that the hospital has been given a December 5th deadline for all employees to receive at least a first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. While the OSHA mandate for every company with more than 100 employees was suspended after several lawsuits, a mandate from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services will go into effect in less than 3 weeks, Myers said. By December 5th, every employee at Midland Memorial Hospital will need to have had a first dose of the vaccine or been granted a medical or religious exemption, according to Myers. Several states, including Texas, have filed lawsuits against CMS, but the courts have not acted on those suits. As a regulated entity, we have no choice but to move forward with our preparation to implement the federal mandate as it was originally given to us, Myers said during a press conference. Failure to comply with those would effectively shut down the hospital. Hospitals cannot participate in Medicare or Medicaid programs if they don't follow CMS regulations, Myers said. Additionally, most other insurance companies have clauses that require the hospital to be certified by Medicare and Medicaid. Every payer with which we do business today would remove the ability to be paid from the hospital. It would also eliminate our ability to be accredited, Meyer said. If we have no sources of revenue, we can't pay our staff. We can't keep the lights on, We can't do what we're expected to do for the community. It is not a practical consideration. Staff members who will need to be vaccinated include volunteers, vendors, contractors, physicians, and medical staff, according to Myers. Some employees may be eligible for a medical exemption, but Myers said that eligibility is narrow and includes only conditions the CDC has listed for who cannot receive a vaccine. Eligibility for a religious exemption is broader, but does not include personal preferences or political beliefs, he said. We have had a small number of staff and expect a few volunteers and others to resign over the mandate, Myers said. We're going to do everything we can to be flexible and compassionate with our people to minimize the loss of staff who are so important to us. Employees have until November 21st to submit an exemption request, he said. An anonymous committee will review those requests and decide who meets the criteria. Temporary deferrals will also be possible for those who have recently had COVID-19. The deadline to receive a second dose will be January 4th, and employees will need to have decided by that time if they would like to leave their jobs in lieu of being vaccinated, Myers said. MMH to offer valet parking. Midland Memorial Hospital is offering valet services at the Scarborough Tower main entrance, green entrance. The valet service is free of charge and offered from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. The service is expected to expand starting November 29th to the Craddock Medical Office Building, Blue Entrance.
How safe is the shingles vaccine? Dear Dr. Roach, I am 58 years old and had a severe case of chickenpox when I was in grade school. I noticed that the shingles vaccine now has a warning about Guillain-Barré syndrome. How safe is the shingles vaccine? Are there other versions of the vaccine that don't have that warning? RH. Answer. Guillain-Barré syndrome is a condition causing damage to the nerves. It is usually triggered by an infection, but has been, in rare cases, associated with some vaccines. Most people recover fully from GBS, but in some people, there can be permanent nerve damage. After the new two-shot shingles vaccine, Shingrix, was approved, post-marketing studies noted a small increase in the risk of GBS after the first dose of the vaccine. The estimated risk is approximately 3 to 6 people per million in people over 65. The shingles vaccine was 97% effective at preventing shingles in people over 50, although it is a bit less effective, 90%, in people over 70. In my opinion, and in that of the Food and Drug Administration, the benefits of the vaccine outweigh the risks. The shingles vaccine is very safe, but no vaccine, like no drug, supplement, or herbal medicine, is 100% safe.
Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, November 18th. So father's anger issues stem from head injury. Dear Abby, I am a divorcee who has reconnected with a childhood neighbor, Levi. He was physically assaulted as a teenager and badly injured. He has made almost a complete recovery, but has a metal plate in his skull and a traumatic brain injury. We have always been friends, and after my divorce, he asked me out. It felt strange, akin to dating my brother, but he was persistent. We had fun, enjoyed parties and hanging out, and I got pregnant. Immediately, I began to resent Levi. Neither of us was capable of raising children. Our 5-year-old now lives in chaos. I didn't know Levi as well as I thought. His TBI is a much bigger problem than I realized. He cannot control his temper. He's quick to yell at our son, Jaden, and me, and puts me down in front of him. We have to move to a different area of the home to give Levi space. He truly cannot help it, but it's hard to tolerate the tantrums. Jaden loves his father anyway and never holds a grudge. Levi frequently apologizes, but the behavior never stops. He has never been physically abusive, but he's walking a fine line with the verbal nastiness. I'm constantly a referee to prevent escalation. I love both Levi and my son. We are not married. Should I continue trying to make it work, or should I run for the hills with Jaden? It's loud and often contentious. Signed, Second-Guessing My Life. Dear Second-Guessing, your love for Levi is beside the point. The longer Jaden is subjected to his father's irrational outbursts, whether they are aimed at you or at him, the more the boy will feel this is what a normal adult relationship is like. For your son's sake, you should separate. If Levi's abuse escalates from verbal to physical, that's when you should run for the hills. Dear Abby, I am a mother of three adult kids. We are all comfortable financially. My eldest and youngest are successful. They work hard and enjoy their homes and their lifestyle of entertaining and eating out. My middle child lives far away and is happy to say he is not a capitalist. He works for nonprofits and barely makes ends meet. He went to college but dropped out in his last semester. He has no health insurance. He drives a car but has no insurance or driver's license. He clearly knows better, but insists that all these concerns of mine are old world and overrated, and that I worry about nothing. I'm sick about the mistakes I've made with him, but I'm not sure where they were. I try to focus him on his license and insurance, but nothing gets done. What's the next best step? Signed, Helicopter Mom in Michigan. Dear Helicopter Mom, I am sorry you didn't mention what exactly your son does for these nonprofit organizations. Because they are nonprofit does not mean there is no money to pay their employees. Not only do staffers at nonprofits earn good wages, there are also benefits. The next best step for you would be to step back and allow your adult son to conduct his life the way he has chosen and to accept the consequences of his irresponsibility.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.